Hello, everybody, and welcome to this first live edition of UGA Sports presenting Georgia Recruiting Rumor versus Fact. I am Blaine Gilmer, and I am excited to be here with one of my colleagues here on UGASports.com, and that is none other than Mr. Jed May. Jed, thanks so much for joining. I'm excited to get this going.
Yeah, man, glad to get rolling.
So, Jed, you and I both, I would say, newer to UGASports.com than some of the other staff that's been here, but we've been right in the throes of this busy month of recruiting. In the month of June, it was with all the visits, and now July, of course, being a dead period. So just kind of tell everybody to start off with, let's give a little bit of background here, Jed. Tell everybody where you kind of came from and what's been leading you up to this point with UGA Sports before we get started.
Yeah. So, I don't know how many of y'all out there ever read the Red and Black, but, I wrote for covered UGA Sports for the Red and Black for my whole time in college, volleyball, basketball, and then football. The last 3 years I was there, covered the Rose Bowl, national championship, all that kind of stuff. And then past couple years I've worked for the Macon Telegraph, doing the same thing, covering UGA football, UGA basketball. And now I'm here working with guys like you and Roddy and, you know, Paul, Trent, Brent, the whole gang, and I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. And I was working with Greg Poole and Bulldog Illustrated over there. Did a lot with those guys, covered recruiting for the last couple of years, it seems like. So, we've been doing a lot of stuff leading up to this point, but both of us are extremely excited. And this show is rumor versus fact, meaning we are going to take your questions about Georgia football recruiting. And when I say your questions, the questions that we are going to answer first are the ones that are the loyal members over at UGASports.com. Not a member yet? Well, you're missing out on things like Jed's target cheat sheet that he put out the other day that just almost broke the site. So many people were reading on the cheat sheet over there for the class of 2022. Today, I had written an article this morning on the 2022 class review, meaning we looked at, okay, where is Georgia to this point in the recruiting class? What's coming up next? Who's committing soon? All those kind of things. But the main purpose of this show is to answer your questions on Georgia football recruiting, of course, and all the details in terms of like quotes from recruits and official predictions, things like that, you can find over at the site. But this is kind of debunking fact from fiction and separating some of those things based on sources that we have out there. So, Jed, what do you say we hop right into these questions that the loyal members over at UGASports.com have for us?
Let's do it, man. Been looking forward to it all day.
All right. So, Jed, read that first question for us.
This one's from Dylan C99. Who are some under-the-radar prospects whose offers are likely committable that we are not talking enough about? Great question. I'm going to start at the receiver position. That's a position that I know a lot of people are kind of, I don't know about worried about, but, you know, a position that's really kind of at the forefront of recruiting right now. I'm going to look at a guy like Sam Mbake. You know, I wrote a story about him a few weeks ago. He visited, I want to say, June 2nd or 3rd. Had a 10-foot, 7-inch broad jump, which, you know, that's the number that pops off the screen at you, had the coaches really excited. I saw him at the Rivals 5-star challenge. He had a hamstring injury trying to run the 40, so he didn't do a whole lot there, but, you know, he's a guy that the coaches really like. They like his athleticism, his ability to stretch the field. I actually talked to him today, wrote a story, and he said he's one of those guys that's going to be watching the offense this fall, you know, seeing what the offense looks like in year two under Todd Monken. You know, how they use receivers. He said he's going to look at guys like Donnie Mitchell, George Pickens, if George Pickens comes back at all, because he sort of his physically, he looks a lot like them. So he's going to see how they use guys like that.
Bigger guy, bigger, stouter receiver.
Right. A guy that goes up, that can pluck the ball over defenders, all that kind of stuff. He wants to see how those guys are used in the offense. And then, you know, another guy, Dylan Bell, you know, another bigger guy, listed at 6'2", 200. He's another guy the coaches are pretty high on. He got offered, you know, so you might know better than I would, probably middle of June-ish. Then he's kind of been rising up the coaches' board. So a couple guys at the receiver position that, you know, obviously the guys like Andre Green, Omari Kelly, those guys are, they're up near the top of the board, but guys like Mbakke and Dylan Bell are right there in the mix too.
No doubt. And on the defensive side of the ball, for those of you that are familiar with Jaron Kanak, who is an athlete out of Kansas, talked to him today. He's being looked at inside linebacker by Georgia. Glenn Schumann, Dan Lanning, the co-defensive coordinators at Georgia, are both recruiting him very hard. Talked to him today, and he was mentioning how was very impressed with his visit at the University of Georgia. And some people have him penciled in as Clemson being the favorite, Jed, like that, saying that's the play. He said by no means. He said he's wide open. Listed schools: Georgia, Florida, Clemson, Michigan, Oklahoma, Kansas State, and Alabama as the ones that he went to this summer. On unofficials, he's still got three official visits left. So Jaron Kanak is a name that you want to keep in mind in terms of somebody who's not talked about a lot, but definitely has a committable offer. Georgia would love to have Jaron Kanak in that class. All right, Jed, hit us up with that second question there.
So this one's from Georgia. That's very
Georgia dog.
Fitting of the regional accents there. It says, who would you rank as the top three, bottom three recruiters on Georgia's staff?
Ooh, they're trying to send us down a rabbit trail right here, right off the bat, Jed.
Yeah. So I think, obviously, any conversation of the top recruiters on Georgia staff has got to start with Del McGee. He's a guy that every kid you talk to seems like talks to Del McGee a lot. He's a guy that, obviously, and then when you look at his position, the running back position, you know, who's recruited better at running back than Georgia over the past, you know, 5-6 years. So I think Del McGee is certainly right there up at the top.
There's no doubt. And this, we want to preface this by saying this Georgia class, or this Georgia coaching staff, is full of exceptional recruiters. I mean, that's one prerequisite that Kirby Smart has. You got to be able to recruit, and you got to be able to relate to these young men and their families. And, you know, there's been some positions, maybe, yes, that have recruited better than others over the last few years, but we're not going to get into bottom three of the coaching staff in terms of recruiting. But I will say, and this was something even I may have changed my mind about here just recently, Jeb, before we started talking, I think now that's been added to it, Will Muschamp has to be considered one of the best recruiters, if not the best recruiter, other than maybe Kirby Smart himself, on the staff, because Muschamp, time after time again, Ja'Cory Thomas, when I first talked to Ja'Cory Thomas, he said that yes, he worked out with Jamila Dye, but Will Muschamp was the one that he was really that kind of the straw that stirred the drink for him, so to speak. And we're, you know, really trying to really seeing how Will Muschamp's fingerprints are all over this class of 2022. A lot more and more guys that you and I and Ben and Trent and everybody talk to, the more that we hear the name Will Muschamp is involved. Him, Dan Lanning, as you mentioned, Del McGee, I think those are all three. And then of course you can't exclude Kirby Smart, right? He's the closer. He's the main guy there. So,
and sorry to cut you off. I think something that, you know, maybe doesn't get talked about enough is Todd Monken recruiting these receivers. You know, obviously he's the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, but he's a guy that's going after these receivers a lot. He's coached a lot of receivers in the NFL. You know, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans. I guess Chris Godwin was in Tampa when he was there. You know, he's a guy that has a lot of, I guess, cachet in receivers, I guess, if you will. I talked with Denylon Morissette a couple weeks ago about the offensive meeting that they had after the scavenger hunt. And they had, trying to think of the receivers in the room. I know Denylon was there. Anyway, Todd Monken, you know, every coach was playing clips of guys they've coached, and Todd Monken was throwing up Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham. Like I just said, you know, when you have a coach that not only has coached guys that have been great in college, but guys that are currently great in the NFL, if these kids have grown up watching over the past 4 or 5 years, you know, that really resonates with a lot of these kids. So I think, you know, Monken and his emphasis, or his recruiting, you know, whatever, reputation among receivers, I think is something that plays a big role too.
Yeah, and he's got a track record of throwing to tight ends as well. Pierce Sperling and Lawson Lucky were in that meeting that you were referencing before. KJ Bolden, a 2024 Buford prospect who can play offense and defense. I mean, he's just, there was a lot of talent. Justice Hayes was even there in that room. So what a luxury that is for Georgia to have a guy like Todd Monken to present those facts and those types of presentations to the prospects there.
Just to kind of bring that full circle, when I talked to Mbakke today, he had a great quote. He said, you know, he came to Athens and the recruiting pitch was, this isn't the same old Georgia. They're going to throw the ball more and everything. And then he said, you know, I had a little different spin on things. Why are they recruiting all these receivers if they're not going to throw the ball? I was like, that's fair. You know, that's a good point. You know, that's,
you know, the intentions have been there. The intentions have been there. Right. And a lot of people have said that maybe if Todd Monken had a full off season, a full spring practice and complement a regular off season, not a COVID restricted off season, you may have seen Georgia open up the offense even more in last year's season. Now let's get to someone who loves to just bring the heat on the board. That's Pine_Tree1. Jed, go ahead and read Pine_Tree1's question there.
So this question smells pine fresh, and it said, is the staff currently favoring faster receivers or bigger receivers? Bigger receivers as their strategy, not looking for the cop-out answer of they're looking for their best receivers. So that was going to be my answer. So I'm out of things to say, so Blaine, you take this one.
Well, I mean, you can talk a little bit about some of the guys, like you said. You mentioned Sam Mbake, Dylan Bell. Those are guys that are kind of under the radar being recruited, but those top targets, the Andre Greens, the Shaz Prestons, those kind of guys, none of them still though are like major burners, if you will. You know, like that you're talking about guys who are in the 4 or 5 range, things like that. So one thing I want to show people, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to get this up right here where I can share it. I'm going to attempt to share my screen. Is I made a chart of some of the receiving talent out there that Georgia has, all the receivers on their roster right now, and they're 40 times. These are 40 times that are on record. Hopefully they can see it pretty clear. Jed, can you see it pretty clear?
Yeah, I got you.
So Adonai Mitchell, all the way down through Ladd McConkie. I just went down the roster and listed receivers. Of course, I left George Pickens off of this list because, you know, he's not going to be playing, at least to begin the season with. So you're talking about guys who are all in the 4-5 range here. You have Jermaine Burton dipping down to a 4.43. Kyaris Jackson in the 4.4 range. I've seen on Draft Scout, he even may have recorded a 4.40 somewhere. So Kyaris Jackson can really pick him up and put him down. And then, of course, Arian Smith at 4.38, and he may be even faster than that, a quicker time than that. However, I just wanted to record that. But you see Georgia, they've got the size of everybody on their team is above 6 foot. So they've got good size, but not that elite speed. You know, so look at these times. You even see some approaching, you know, Dominic Blaylock was not a burner out of high school. This was his time, like at the opening, I think, of 4.68. So he may have improved, but he's also coming off 2 knee injuries. So we'll have to see. But then let's compare this, Jed, to some of the top wide receiver talent out there. And I'll try to make this where everybody can see real quick. Some of the top wide receiver talent that's been taken over the last 3 drafts in the first 1, 2, 3 rounds. You see the slowest of the bunch were Jerry Jeudy and Devonta Smith at 4.4. Yeah, at a high 4.4 is what Devonta Smith's time never mysteriously came out. It was like a high 4.4, and then you had Jerry Jeudy at a 4.46. But you see all these guys in the low 4.4s, even Mecole Hardman at a 4.33. These are explosive wide receivers.
Right.
So my answer to Pine_Tree1 would be that what Georgia is looking for is the speed. I mean, that's what they want. That's why a guy like an Evan Stewart was so important to this class. And that's why I think it's a big deal that Evan Stewart has now seemed to part ways with Georgia to kind of look elsewhere and mark them off his list. I think that's a big blow for Georgia, because you see even guys like Florida had Kadarius Toney, who made a world of a difference last year, lined up beside Kyle Pitts. So you look at a guy like Kadarius Toney, right, and Kyle Pitts, and then you look at Georgia with a Darnell Washington and an Arian Smith lying beside him. And then, oh, by the way, you have Eric Gilbert. And Eric Gilbert, I do want to go back to the Georgia list there, Jed. He is kind of a anomaly there, because he's a huge receiver. Look at this. Yeah. This is a wide receiver, 6'5", 248 pounds. And I've seen official 40 time listed of him as a 4.53 as his lowest ever recorded time. I mean, can you imagine the matchup?
That's a guy that in a couple of years doing the show, he's going to be on the recent top three round SEC receivers that you just pulled up a minute ago with numbers like that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share that with people just to show that that's what Georgia's really kind of looking for. There is they're looking for the explosivity, the guys who are can create plays. I think that's why Ladd McConkey made his way into the class, because he doesn't have necessarily elite straight line speed, but he's got elite short area quickness, and he could turn into that type of guy. That's one reason I think people need to keep an eye out for Cole Spear. Cole Spear goes to Calhoun, doesn't have an offer from Georgia yet, but at an Appalachian State prospect camp, he ran a 4.37 laser time 40. Got an offer from Memphis lately, so they're looking for speed. They're looking for that kind of stuff, and Georgia definitely has playmakers in Adonai Mitchell and Arian Smith. Of course, Eric Gilbert's been added. People don't look at Jackson Meeks enough. Jackson Meeks is a guy who last year, Jed, absolutely just torched the state of Alabama in his opening three games. I think he had like 500 yards receiving in his first three games. It was ridiculous. So yeah, Pine Tree, that's our answer to that one. And I think Pine Tree has a follow-up question here, Jed. So go ahead and hit that one real quick.
Yeah, this is about CJ or Carlton Madden, whichever you prefer. He says, I've watched CJ Madden's film and I don't see an elite edge rusher. What am I missing?
Okay. So I've heard this a lot. I've got DMs on this. I've got, you know, people texting me this, sending me Facebook stuff, asking, well, you know, what's the deal with CJ Madden? And I will tell you this. I talked to CJ Madden today, just kind of, you know, catching up with him, seeing how things are going. He's preparing to drop a top schools and on his birthday on August 5th. He said, you know, I told him, hey, we got a show coming up tonight. I was telling him what we were doing. And he said, well, go ahead and tell everybody, rest assured, Georgia is on the top groups list that comes out August 5th. So he wanted everybody to know that is for sure. And then, you know, one reason I think, Pine Tree, that you don't maybe see it is because you're looking at a lot of film, unless you're looking at the spring game film, that is from 2 years ago at Arabian Mountain, because he was ineligible to play last year as a junior. Back then at Arabian Mountain, he was sitting at 6'1", 185 pounds, playing a true defensive end with his hand on the ground. And Jed, now, he's pushing 6'4", 240, mm-hmm. And has a over 80-inch wingspan. So let's compare that to Azeez Ojulari, right? Azeez Ojulari, fair to say, a pretty quality edge rusher there, Jed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Azeez, who's now in the NFL, measured in at the combine 6'2", 2.5, with at 249 pounds, 82-inch wingspan. So you're talking about a guy in CJ Madden who is the size, has the measurables of an Azeez Ojulari, and even though he didn't get to play last year, he still got to practice against elite talent there at Cedar Grove. I mean, you talked to Kaylin Lee, mm-hmm. we've talked to Kristen Miller.
Road LeGuire's out there.
So much talent over at Cedar Grove. So I expect people to see a big jump out of him this year. Now, Jed, this next question, you've had a lot of experience, especially with a guy who fits in this category of a big offensive lineman. I'll read this one for you, Jed, and you can hop on it. It says, Boom MF'er Dog, which, so there you go, Boom MF'er Dog. He says, is our offensive line philosophy working with bigger OL, or do you think we should go slightly smaller but faster? Had another comment in there, but to shorten it up and get on the screen, I had to say, how would you rate Luke as a coach? So, Jed, one big offensive lineman that you know is being recruited hard by Georgia, Jacob Hood. You've talked a lot to him, but talk a little bit about him and then the bigger OL philosophy Georgia's had, that great wall in the last few years.
Yeah, so I actually tried to reach out to Jacob today, couldn't get a hold of him, but he's down to Georgia, Miami. It was really interesting because I talked to him after he visited I took an official to Miami. I want to say it was 2 weekends ago, maybe. And he was praising the laid back coaching style of Miami offensive line coach, Garen Justice. And I was like, well, Matt Luke, that's not really his thing. It's like, oh, well, you know, I could be coached by anybody. And he likes the pedigree that Matt Luke has of sending guys to the NFL. But yeah, he's listed at, I don't have the numbers right in front of me. Like at this point, 6'7". Yeah. I mean, it's huge. It's, you know, it's, when you dream of an offensive tackle, you know, when Matt Luke goes to sleep at night thinking of offensive tackles, he dreams of that guy. So I think I was thinking about this a little earlier. I don't think, you know, I think nowadays in college football, you know, the bigger versus smaller, like that's maybe secondary to agility, whether you're bigger or small, you know, if that makes any sense. You know, you can be, you know, you can make up for size deficiencies maybe if you've got some agility. You know, I know this is looking down the road, but a guy like a 2023 guy, Madden Sanker, that guy looked really good at the five-star challenge a couple weeks ago. You know, just on the inside, you know, he moves his feet well. A guy like Iapani Lalulu, another 2022 guy, you know, really agile, moved great feet, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's something, you know, as college football spreads out more, quick passing, all that kind of stuff, that offensive linemen need to be agile. That's something coaches look for maybe a little bit more than, you know, big or small.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously that basement of how the size. Right. I mean, there's that floor that you have to be right over the size, because they look at the measurables. Like, you know, let's say a guy like a Griffin Scroggs who ended up going to Georgia Tech, right? There were some maybe questions about, okay, arm length, stuff like that. But, you know, Georgia had offered him, wasn't right quite the time for him maybe to pull the trigger on a commitment to Georgia, ends up going to Georgia Tech. So, you know, there's always questions and things like that, but it also depends, you know, on the position. We're talking about right entire offensive line. You can get away with, you know, shorter armed guy at center. Kirby Smart talks about all the time. You need a massive human being at guard. I mean, you got to be able to get that movement. That's why they like, they kicked Devin Willick inside, played offensive tackle in high school. He flips right after Matt Luke comes to Georgia. When he got hired, flips from Penn State to Georgia within like 5 days. Now you got a mammoth guy there repping it at guard. Of course, they got huge guys there, like Barstool athlete Tate Ratledge, that sweet mullet mustache combination that's earned him a sponsorship with Jed's trying to match Tate right now.
One day, but
he's got that Barstool sponsorship. But, you know, Georgia, I don't think the size is, like Jed said, that's not. Everybody's big when you get to these power five right level recruits. Now it's looking for that extra. Okay, who can bend? Who can transfer right power from through their hips into a block, sustain a block? Right. Who can stay agile in a pass set and, you know, not at the same time be big enough to stop a bull rush? You know, right. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. I think one thing you will see with Matt Luke that I think did it get introduced is you saw the first game that he became offensive line coach. Georgia under when Sam Pittman was there, they were almost exclusively a zone running team. I mean, it was like a bunch of inside zones, some outside zone, things like that, occasionally a toss. You see a little bit more gap scheme stuff, and I do think that is Matt Luke's influence, especially some of the stuff they were doing with John Rhys Plumlee at his tail end of his career there at Ole Miss, things like that, some of that more gadgetry type stuff, some long traps, some counter trade type stuff. I think Georgia would get involved in that. You do need some athleticism to do that. So maybe that's where a guy like Warren Erickson or Clay Webb maybe gets involved in things like that down the line. So we'll see on the offensive line, but I don't think that the offensive line strategy of getting big guys has been the problem. It's just finding guys who are big and athletic to,
right,
to go along with it. So
yeah, I should say we're not when I say, you know, there's not going to be any 230-pound linemen in the suiting of it. Like, that's those days are long gone. But it's like, you know, okay, if you're a coach, it's like you said, everybody's big. So if you take, you know, you got a 300-pound guy who can move versus a 315-20-pound guy who's stiff as a board, you know, then you might sacrifice a few of those pounds to get the added agility. That's kind of the vein I was going in there.
Yeah, no doubt. And then the last question we had from the people over at UGASports.com, has Kirby lost control of recruiting? Well, Jed, he's finished in the top five in recruiting pretty much every year that he's been there at the University of Georgia, has two number one classes, depending on how you look at it and things like that, different metrics. But I just think that, you know, that's definitely reaching there. What do you think, Jed? Did say Kirby's lost control?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I've seen this on the boards, you know, sporadically, you know, over the past, you know, month and a half or so, of some people say, oh, you know, people are freaking out about recruiting in June. And people say, you know, well, you know, when is it a problem? When does it become a problem? Is it August, September, whatever? I think, you know, I think June's a little early to be freaking out. I think, you know, you get the early signing day, you know, leading up to stuff like that, then that would be a time for panic, I think. But I think now, I don't know. It seems a bit premature to me. But, you know, and like, you know, when you look at a guy like Kirby, he has a track record finishing strong. Like you said, the classes, they always end up near the top. So I think, and, you know, again, you look right now, you know, say we got, there's Branson Robinson and Danny Dennison committing in, what is it, 10 days? 10 days?
On the 22nd.
You know, in the span of 3 hours or whatever that day, I don't know what times they're announcing, but Georgia could add 2 5-stars to a great class, and then the recruiting rankings shoot way up the board. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, like recruiting is usually, it's a wait-and-see game.
No doubt. And people are worried, of course, about, I know Donut over at over on the board, isn't his name Donut Dog, I think, mm-hmm. is the handle. I know Donut is worried about that wide receiver recruiting, man. I mean, he is on borderline depression over the wide receiver recruiting. But I would like to just caution everybody. I wrote an article the other day about the biggest test for Georgia recruiting coming up is September 4th against Clemson. If JT Daniels, Todd Monken, and the crew go out against Clemson and look both efficient and explosive, and JT ends up throwing for, you know, in the 400-yard range or 3 touchdowns, you're going to – I mean, I would imagine that Georgia at that point would have to start turning away wide receiver recruitment or commitments. You know, guys calling up, hey, I'd like to commit. Well, hold on. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We got to see, you know, guys like – a guy like a Luther Burden is going to be tuned into that game. He committed to Oklahoma. You know, he knows that Oklahoma will – sling the rock all over the field, knows what Lincoln Riley's all about, has seen the track record of guys like CeeDee Lamb, things like that. So now what is Georgia going to do? If Georgia comes out and has a stellar offensive performance and JT Daniels throws it all over the yard, that gets in a guy like his mind. That gets in directly in Andre Green Jr.'s mind, because you're talking about Clemson is up there for him as well. So that's like a prime matchup for Andre Green Jr. there, Jed. And you know, even guys like Shaz Preston, who is in the heart of LSU country, right? Well, he knows Ed Orgeron's changed to where Ed Orgeron will throw it around. The lefty Max Johnson trying to beat out Miles Brennan there for their job. But we'll see, either one of those guys is going to, you know, sling the pigskin. But JT Daniels showed a willingness, and I think this was the biggest thing. He showed a willingness, and even though there was a little bit of inconsistency with deep ball, a willingness and a at least above average, in my opinion, accuracy with the deep ball, putting it down the field. So it got that continues in these first 3 or 4 games. Georgia takes care of business against Clemson, looks great offensively. You're going to see the floodgates open up on this recruiting class, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it's like you said, I talked to Mbake today and he told me as much. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to see what they do. I'm going to see guys like, you know, he really mentioned Adonai Mitchell just because, again, you know, George Pickens' status, you know, is up in the air for the season at all, let alone the beginning. It's like, you know, if Adonai Mitchell goes out there and he puts up the numbers, you know, the thought creeps into his mind, hey, I can't go in there and do the same thing, especially on a team looking ahead to 2022 where George Pickens likely isn't going to be there. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's like you said, it's Clemson is going to be the showcase game on the schedule until a possible SEC championship game appearance. So it's going to be, you know, it's a huge night, you know, for what's going to be on the scoreboard and, you know, for the impression it makes on recruits around the country too.
Yeah, no doubt. And guys, we got maybe a couple minutes here. So if you want to leave comments on the YouTube, we'll try to hit a couple more questions here as we go. But if anybody wants to drop a comment on the YouTube, in the YouTube comments, I'll put it up on the screen and we'll try to talk about it here for a couple more minutes. But Jed, you did mention earlier, Georgia has some major commitment decisions coming up of targets. There's some commitment dates, Dalen Everett on the 17th, Catron Allen to a certain extent, but I think we're all kind of expecting Catron Allen to go elsewhere, because I think everybody's got Branson Robinson kind of circled right now. To go to the University of Georgia. And then also Danny Dennis Sutton is I got corrected on it. So everybody knows it is Deny Dennis Sutton is what his head coach Hakeem Sewell from McDonough High School up there in Owens Mill Owens Mill, Maryland. So that's where he's from. So deny Dennis Sutton. They're deciding on the same day. A lot of people reading into the tweet back and forth between him and Branson Robinson, a same day, same school, possibly that kind of stuff. So just give me your thoughts on some of those commitments coming up. What do you think is going to be key coming down the stretch on those?
I mean, you know, again, it's hard to go anywhere but July 22nd. You know, you look at, you know, every class has got those cornerstones. You know, I know in your 2022 class review, I think was the name of it today, you had those foundational guys at the top, and it was Gunnar Stockton, Denylon Morissette, and Jalen Walker as the guys in the class that are recruiting. You know, you get Dennis Sutton and Branson Robinson in there, those are guys that become instant, you know, gravitational forces pulling other guys into this class, you know. So that's a huge day. You know, obviously those are two guys that would boost the ranking of this class up the board. And then, you know, the sky's the limit for who they could end up pulling into the class as well.
Yeah, we do have one question here from Greg Clowen. Greg Clowen, and he says, any true freshman making an impact this season? So this is a recruiting show, but that kind of ties into to things because you look back at the previous recruitment. So Greg, that is a great question there. And let's talk about some guys that could end up. I think a guy that is kind of surprisingly going under the radar a little bit, I think Nylon Green has a chance out of Newton High School to really make a huge impact at corner. I think he's very, very gifted. He's got some more experienced guys over there. Jalen Kimber is ahead of him, maybe Amir Speed just by experience. But you're talking about a guy by the end of the year who could, through talent alone, end up making a big difference for that Georgia secondary in terms of true freshmen. Anybody you got in mind, Jed, in terms of true freshmen?
I mean, I think maybe not a guy specifically, but just that position group you mentioned, the secondary, it's so wide open back there with all the guys that left. You know, another guy, maybe David Daniel. I know he got reps. You know, I want to say it was with the second team. I can't remember exactly at G-Day, but, you know, there's summer workouts, there's fall camp, there's injuries that happen, obviously. So that's another guy to look at maybe in a, you know, a third safety, a star type, you know. But then again, and that's in that secondary, there's any number of guys that can work their way up the depth chart just to the sheer fact that it's wide open. You know, there's no starters jobs, I don't think, locked down other than Lewisine probably right now.
No doubt. I did want to mention Chaz Chambliss as well. Chaz Chambliss out of, and I'm losing it over there. Where did Chaz Chambliss come? Carrollton. Chaz Chambliss out of Carrollton. I think special teams alone, he's the type of guy that could be a special teams monster because he is a college-bodied player right now. I mean, he was a workout fiend at Carrollton, and I think that guy, you know, Chambliss, you could see him stepping up on special teams. Greg Clown also says Brock Bowers as well. I totally agree. I think Brock Bowers is going to be there. And Amarius Mims could end up being the starting left tackle before all things are said and done. So we will see here. And then our colleague, last one, we're going to end it up here on this one, Jed. Have a little fun with this one. Our colleague Paul Meharry asks, hypothetically, if you could pick a brand to endorse you for NIL, what brand are you picking?
Brand to endorse me for NIL.
Yeah, if you could get an NIL sponsorship, Jed, what brand are you trying to go after to support Mr. May?
Let's see. I'll refrain from making any jokes about our Vegas trip. I don't know, man. I would probably pick something pretty. Actually, you know what I would really like to do? I would maybe like to get in something. I think it's the name of the company is Yoke, that all the Auburn guys signed with, the video game company. I love.
Are they getting paid to play video games?
I think it's like a type of thing, like kind of like a cameo thing for video games. I think like people can pay to play with athletes. I think I haven't read that much into it, but something like that to just hang out. And, you know, my life's goal eventually is to get paid for playing video games. So that would be, I think, the next best thing.
There you go. I've got two. I want Chick-fil-A to Yes. I want Chick-fil-A, and I want that to be like, I get just a, I would gladly shill for Chick-fil-A 3 times a day, put up posts for them, whatever they wanted me to do. If I could just have free Chick-fil-A, I mean, that would be like the best thing ever. And then, also like the favorite shoes I've ever worn in my life are those on running shoes. Some of the best things ever. I'd want a deal with On Running Shoes and Chick-fil-A, and then I'm good to go.
Good.
But Jed, man, I really, really enjoyed, getting to do this inaugural show here of our weekly recruiting show. It's a rumor. In fact, hopefully we separated some things out for some people in terms of what we were hearing, things like that. If you've got questions, guys, we're going to put each week the day of the show. And right now we're going to try to go with Mondays at 8:15. We're going to try to put each week on Monday. We'll put a thread up at ugasports.com. Those people will get their questions answered first. There's no guarantee that we'll get to anybody that's not on UGA Sports. So all the more incentive to do it. You can use promo code UGA30 to get a 30-day free trial over at ugasports.com. Catch all the things that we talked about with recruiting, like quotes from players, direct quotes from players, a bunch of interviews that we do. Jed has his cheat sheet update. I believe that Jed and Ben are working on a top group sheet. Every prospect that has like a top group, Georgia in their top group, is going to be coming soon. I did the recruiting review on class of 22. Of course, Trent Smallwood has his class projections that he updates periodically over there as well. So thank you so much for joining us. Jed, it was awesome, man, and looking forward to doing it here again soon.
Yes, sir. I'll be here next week at 8:15.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for joining, and we'll catch you next time.
See y'all.